Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. James 3, 8 through 11. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The Bible indicates that of the 78 organs in the human body, the tongue is the most unruly, and it's also the most powerful. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject, the taming of the tongue. You may be seated. The greatest potential we have in our life is our tongue. It is the potential for good or the potential for bad. Potential for life or for death. And I can tell you that the majority of the people that you associate with speak more death than they do life. And that can be very contagious. David Letterman used to have a problem when he had a guest. If they were quirky and they had a unique way of speaking, he would correct himself and he'd say, "Why am I talking like you?" He would start talking like his guest, whatever their mannerisms were, and he would correct himself. That's not just David Letterman. All of us pick up a lot of the language of the people that we communicate with. And most people are speaking deadly things, poisonous things, rather than things of life. Oral Roberts, which built one of the most beautiful campuses, I don't know whether you've been to ORU or not, but he built such a tremendous campus in Tulsa, and I've been there and preached there at the campus, and it's just a beautiful place. But Oral said that every building on that campus came as a result of his speech. Not just to people. He said, "I'd talk to people all the time and people would donate money." But he said that wasn't the real initiative of those buildings. He said, "I would pray in tongues. Nobody around, just me." He said, "I would pray, then the Lord would give me the interpretation." And he said it would be about the building that we were needing at the time. He said, "I literally spoke them into existence." Friend, that is not some kind of a superstition. That's a principle and power that's within the Word of God. He said, the worlds were framed by the Word of God, speaking those things that are needful and those things that are desirous and those things that are good. But most people don't do that. There's a graphic biblical illustration about death and life being in the tongues in the book of Judges in the 12th chapter. The story of the Ephraimites and the Gileads. The Gileads were people that were used of the Lord. And the Ephraimites were people that were very jealous, very competitive, very negative, always complaining about things. And they developed a hostility toward the Gileadites because Gilead had gone to battle without them and been victorious. And the Ephraimites said, "Why didn't you include us?" And he said, "Well, the reason why we didn't include you, the last time we sought to include you, you would not participate. Now that you've seen we have won, you want to be included in, and so we did not include you." But nevertheless, the Gileads became tremendously successful in their warfare. And the Jebusites, the Ephraimites did not. They were totally defeated time and time again. And so it fell upon the responsibility of the Gileadites to have the charge of the ford so they could cross the Jordan River into Canaan. And so because that the Ephraimites were not victorious, they didn't have that luxury of crossing at the fords. They had to cross anywhere they could, take their life in their own hands, much like at the river here with the illegals coming in today. You know, they can cross certain places, but you read almost weekly of somebody drowning. It was the same kind of a deal. And so what the Ephraimites said, "There's not that much difference in our complexion. We look a lot the same. We can camouflage our costume and our clothing and our styling to where we will look exactly like the people of Gilead. And they won't know the difference. So we can use the ford and we will just mix in with them." You know, there's a lot of people that are mixing in with Christianity today that are not Christians. And the way that you know that is by the language that comes out of them. And so The Gileads, they developed a test and said, we will know who is among us by what they say and how they say it. And so they realized that the Ephraimites had a real problem speaking SHs. They simply couldn't do it. It was foreign to them. They didn't have a word in their vocabulary that had SH. And so they simply said, well, we'll put them to the test. We'll just ask everyone that comes to the ford to say Shibboleth. And if they can't say it correctly, we will know that they are Ephraimites, and we will kill them. Serious business. Life and death is in the tongue. And so when they would come to the ford and they'd say Shibboleth, the Ephraimites would say Sibboleth. They would leave the H out. And simply from that one letter, that one slight mispronunciation, the Gileadites would kill the Ephraimites, and they killed 42,000 of them. So the Bible is not overstating it when it said life and death. Actually, it doesn't say that. It said death and life is in the tongue. I like to say life and death, and I read as I was going through commentaries and I was going through different things that people said about this verse that almost everybody switched the verse and said life and death. It doesn't say it says death and life. It puts death first. The reason being is most people are literally speaking death into their life. The great majority of people are. Even in history, there is an example of this. It is said during the Second World War that the German soldiers sometime identified Russian Jews by the way they pronounced the word corn. And incidentally, that is the same word that the Gileadites were using, the word for corn. And so there were people that were trying to say, I'm not Jewish, but actually I'm German. And they would participate in the cultures of the Germans to avoid death when Hitler was marching through Europe. And so the Nazis developed this. They said there's one word that they cannot pronounce. And if they don't pronounce that word right, we will know that they are Jews. And literally hundreds of thousands of Jews were put on death trains to death camps to be burned to death in the furnaces of the Nazi camps and concentration camps simply because they could not speak that one word and it gave them away. Friend, I want to tell you that it does matter what you say. It does matter how you say it. Death or life is in the tongue. Poison or promise is in the tongue. Poverty or prosperity is in the tongue. Hell or heaven is in the tongue. Punishment or pleasure is in the tongue. Powerlessness or power is in the tongue. Fearful or faithfulness is in the tongue. Famished or fruitful is in the tongue. The Bible said, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Let's look at the text again. Look at the text with me. It's kind of a neat little verse. It's just so short, but it's so very, very powerful what God is saying. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. He said it's so powerful that human beings cannot control that. No matter how educated you are, how wise you are, eventually things slip out to show what's in your heart. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now look at the last phrase in this verse. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. If you love the confession that God wants you to make, and you love using your tongue for the things of God, there is a tremendous fruit, a tremendous harvest in that. And you shall eat the fruit thereof. What does that verse mean? It means that God has literally got before you life and death. But you've got to get it in your heart. For the Bible said, for the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He said, my ears try words like my tongue taste meat. Denny's steaks are not like Ruth Chris. I just want you to know that. In fact, a lot of steakhouses are different. Some of the steakhouses, and I don't really want to put them down because they've been very good, but one of the steakhouses I go to a lot, their steaks are too dense. I mean, they're as hard as a rock, which tells me they're cheaper steaks, but they're not selling to me cheaper. But if I go to a real good steakhouse, it's not that hard. It's not that dense. My tongue knows that. Well, just as my tongue can test and taste meat, my ears try words. You don't have to be around a person very long to understand what is in their heart, because it comes bubbling out. They simply cannot control that. They might for a while. It's just amazing. I had a friend. In fact, a friend of mine called me yesterday and talked for about an hour, and I hadn't talked to him for about a year, and he lives in Ohio, and he's a good friend of mine, and he's Episcopalian, and he used to visit our church regularly when he lived here in San Antonio. He's my next-door neighbor, and he said, I never will forget. He said, I knew you for a few weeks, and you never told me you were a pastor. And he said, I was driving down the road one day, and I saw your picture up on the billboard. I said, that's my neighbor. He said, I didn't know that. So he said, I showed up at your church that Sunday, and he said, I thought it was just going to be a few people, and he was in that old building. That's when we had people sitting in the fellowship hall and in the gym, and he said, man, people was everywhere, and I kept asking my wife, why are they coming here? Is he giving out hot dogs, or what's he doing here? Because being Episcopalian, he didn't quite understand the draw of the Holy Ghost. Well, I had another friend that started helping me in horse sales. He just showed up. Him and he had a daughter that was a grown daughter, and she was a school teacher. And he was a wonderful man. I mean, just as far as a human being, I never met a nicer guy. And he helped me so much, and he did it free. He wouldn't take a penny. He'd work, you know, for days getting ready for those big horse sales we did. And he had the worst mouth on him of anybody I ever heard. Oh, his language was bad. I never rebuked him. I never said anything about it. And believe me, I never heard that language in my home. My mother and daddy were Christian. We just didn't tolerate that. But I've been around these horse sales, and I've heard everything that can be possibly said. And so that's not what I'm after. I'm after leading them to the Lord. And so I never said anything to him. And one day we were in the office, and somebody came in there, the new man, and they said, Pastor. And he said, he was doing something. He said, what'd you call him? He said, Pastor. Now, he'd been helping me for about a year, and I hadn't divulged that I was a pastor. And he had been cussing all that time. And he said, what'd you call him? He said, Pastor. Pastor. Why'd you call him Pastor? He said, he pastors Living Way Church up here. He said, do you? I said, yes, I do. He just cussed me for that. Because he said, if I had known you as a preacher, I wouldn't use that kind of language. Because he said, I'm a good Baptist, and I go right down here to Baptist Church in New Braunfels myself. But the truth is, if they don't know, it's going to come out. But let me explain to you, it doesn't matter what you say to me or about me. Because I don't hold the power of life and death. But there is one that is listening intently to everything we say. And it either brings life or death, not only into our physical body, but our spiritual life and into the very things that we find ourselves involved in this world. The tongue is the line of spiritual demarcation. You know what the line of demarcation? It was used back in the 1400s at the very first time. The line of demarcation is basically used in war, and they'll put a line right there, and they'll say, we don't cross that line. You know, you got one army on one side, one army on the other side, but it's agreed. That is the line of demarcation, a line defining the boundary of a buffer zone or area of limitation. Friend, there ought to be a line of demarcation in your life that you simply do not cross, because when you do, it puts you in the devil's camp. There is a place, I promise you this, whether you obey the line of demarcation or not, there is one the devil has to obey. Remember we used to sing that song about I go high? We're talking about the Lord's name is a tower. There is a place where the devil can't get to you. It is on this side of the line of demarcation. And what decides where you're living, on which side or not, is what you're speaking every day of your life. If you're using God's name in vain, you're living on the wrong side. If you don't mind dropping a few F-bombs, you're living on the wrong side. I can tell you that. I'm just amazed when I see what people say on Facebook that are supposed to be Christians. It's shocking. It's appalling. Occasionally, I have to delete some of them as friends. I just don't want to hear them no more or see them anymore. I ask a lady here in the church, standing right behind where the brother Michael Johnson is sitting right now, a wonderful lady. I asked her, I said, are you on Facebook? She said, I used to be for a few days. She said, I got off because she said, I never met one person on Facebook that I got more confidence in. But she said, I was losing confidence in people every day. And so I got off just because I couldn't see what they were saying on Facebook. That's a terrible indictment against Christians. That social media should be a tremendous pulpit for every believer. That you're able to say things that cause people to stop and think, cause people to investigate your Christ, cause people to want to come to your church, cause people to want to make your acquaintance, cause people to want to live like you. But so many Christians are living on the wrong side of the line of demarcation. But friend, I tell you, the tongue is what defines the limits. That's what the Bible, that's what history calls, it's what the dictionary calls it, a buffer zone, a limit, a line of demarcation. The tongue defines the limits of the human spirit, good or bad, life or death. Darlene Bishop is not highly educated, but she's a spiritual woman, a woman of prayer. And she wrote a book, and the book is just so simple that it is profound. It's simply called, Your Life Follows Your Words. And friend, that is a principle. It's not just a book title. It is a principle. Your life follows your words. If you change your tongue, you change your language, you change your communication, it might not happen the first day, but if you change it forever, your life will begin to adjust itself to what you're speaking. I can promise you that. The tongue defines the limits of the human spirit. Salvation starts with the tongue. Confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Healing starts with the tongue. Deliverance starts with the tongue. Let the weak say, I am strong. That makes absolutely no sense if you take it out of the context of the Holy Spirit. Just because you're weak and you say, I am strong, that doesn't mean anything. You're still weak. It makes no sense unless you understand that life and death are in the tongue. But every day of your life, you get up and say, I'm strong. Well, you're weak. Say, I'm strong. Say it every day. Say it several times every day. Say it to everybody around you till they get tired of you saying it. Say it in the mirror when you're brushing your teeth or combing your hair or shaving your mustache, ladies. Whatever you do, just... One guy said, boy, people are so sensitive the other day. I told a lady at my church, nice mustache, and said, now she won't speak to me. I said, people are too sensitive. Anyway, when you're looking in the mirror, you ought to be saying, I am strong. You say, well, I am strong, so I don't have to say it. Oh, no. If you're strong, say, I'm stronger. I am stronger than I was, stronger than I used to be. Deliverance starts with the tongue. Salvation starts with the tongue. Healing starts with the tongue. What does the text say? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they love it. They that love it. It's a principle. It's a principle. It is a principle that life and death are in the tongue. And people that love that principle and they get a hold of it, they just love to speak things into existence. They love to change their attitude. Somebody said, attitude's like a flat tire. You're not going anywhere until you change it. And so your attitude changes if you begin to embrace this principle, life and death are in the tongue. Ask yourself when you speak, was that life or was that death? Is that life? I'm probably going to get fired. That's death. I bet they're going to cut my hours. That's death. Nobody likes me. That's death. But if you begin to say, I believe I'm the best employee here. I think I'm going to get a raise. That's life. Oh, I'm going to win that person to Christ. I know they're acting up now, but they're getting close to coming to Jesus. That's life. Learn to speak life rather than death, and it will change your life. I promise you. The people that understand, cherish, and embrace the principle of the tongue, the Bible said that they shall eat the fruit thereof. What does that mean? That means that they will embrace the principle of the tongue. They'll drink the sweet. They'll eat the fat and possess the abundant life. What does that mean? That means Nehemiah 8:10. This verse right here, I used to pray. I prayed this same verse probably for over 2 years, several times a day. And that was when I was broke. I would pray this verse along with some others. I had them written down. I would pray those verses every day. He said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The background of that verse is this, that Nehemiah had built the wall, rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. The Israelites had been in bondage for 7 years, exiled to Babylon. And now he has built the walls, and he said, you've got a place that you can find comfort in and protection in. And he said, there's a new day in your life. He said, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweets, send portion to them who has nothing prepared, for this day is holy. He said, things are changing. And so when the Bible teaches us that we will love this principle and eat the fruit thereof, he said, that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to come out of exile. You're going to come out of bondage. You're going to change your life. You're going to begin to say, wait just a minute. I'm going to eat the fat. I'm going to drink the sweet. I'm going to be able to send portions to other people. I'm going to have so much, I'll be able to spread it around. Because this day is holy unto the Lord, and I am not in sorrow. The joy of the Lord is my strength. This is something you need to confess until you get it in your spirit. You should not be affected by what happens to you. You ought to be able to declare this verse in your life no matter what's happening and just say it over and over and over again until that life that's in your tongue literally becomes a life that you're living in and you begin to see things change and you know it's not the boss changing and it's not people changing, but it is the hand of the Lord making the way straight and preparing a way for you. Praise God. And God wants to do that for every one of us. God is saying, regardless, because at this point, the Jews were tremendously failing. They were a tremendous failure. But Nehemiah is saying, this is going to change. Friend, failure is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's if you give in to it. If you let your tongue match your failure will become fatal and final. But praise God, in the midst of failure, if the devil, Jerry Seville preached it, wrote a book on it. I didn't even know he had a book on it. I saw it the other day. I heard him preach a sermon 25 years ago, and it was just one of those things that just was for me. But if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't take your goods. If he can't steal your joy, he can't take your goods. In other words, when the devil comes in and steals something, you say, it ain't gone for good. Oh, that's one thing about when God created us, folks, nothing we lose is gone for good. Because if you give it to God, God doesn't take it, but if you give it to God, what does God do? God multiplies it and gives it back. So it's not gone for good. But if the devil comes and steals it, what happens? The Bible said the devil has to bring it back sevenfold. And so when you lose something and you say, I have failed, and I guess it's final, then you have now used your tongue to pronounce death into your own life. But if you'll take that tongue in the face of failure and say, hey, we ain't in exile no more. We're not in Babylon land no more, praise God. We are back in Jerusalem. The walls are up. And we are going to eat the fat and drink the sweet. And we're going to have enough to give to other people. It's going to overflow. God is saying, regardless of your failure, he said, I am going to give you the fruit of the land. And ladies and gentlemen, God did not promise you that you would never fail. But he did promise that he'd turn around. So many people just don't know how to wait for the turnaround. They take their tongue and they begin to join forces with the devil that stole it. They're saying the same thing the devil is saying. They're doing exactly what the enemy is doing. We're grasshoppers. They coincide with the enemy. They sympathize with the enemy. They become synonymous with the enemy. And that's the reason why it becomes fatal and final. But if you're going to look at it and say, I know what's happened, but it is not final because the life of my kids is in my tongue. The life of my career is in my tongue. The life of my finances is in my tongue. The life of my body is in my tongue. Oh, hallelujah. But when you start saying, well, this old cancer is eating me up, what you're doing now, you are joining forces with the attack of the devil. You're saying exactly what the devil wants you to say. Realize this, ladies and gentlemen, we are the translator. God speaks, but for man to hear him, it has to come through us. We are the translator. The devil speaks, but for it to become a fact, it has to come through us. Life and death is in the tongue, and it is the toughest lesson you will ever learn. My wife literally has it mastered. I test her every week. How are you feeling? It don't have nothing to do with feeling. It's what the Word of God says, but I still like to ask her how she's feeling. And she always comes back with a positive report. So I asked her, she had the knee surgery. She's doing very well. I asked her today, how's your knee doing? She said, fine. I said, what about the other one? And she said, it's doing good too. I said, which one is best? She said, they're both doing good. Oh, friend, she's got it mastered. She won't say I'm sick. She won't say I got the flu. She won't say that. She'll say, oh, the Lord is healing me. The Lord is working a miracle in me. That is a hard lesson to learn, because I came from Pentecostal people that didn't smoke, so I've never smoked. They didn't drink, so I don't drink. They didn't do a lot of things, and so I don't do those things. But I'll tell you what they could do. They therefore could become the most negative human beings that ever lived. They never heard a message on confession. They never heard in those old Pentecostal church about the fact that life and death are in the tongue. They just never heard it. And so when you ask them something, even the testimonies, they used to have open testimonies where people stand up and they would give the devil prime time. I mean, right in a Pentecostal Holy Ghost filled service, they would start, well, the devil's really been after me. And we'd have 5 minutes on how effective the devil attack has been on them. The devil loved to go to Pentecostal testimony services because he got the best reports there than he got anywhere else in the world. Friend, when you testify, it's about the goodness of God. It's not about the badness of the devil. You've got to learn not to say what comes to your mind. You've got to learn not to say what the devil wants you to say, what the flesh says. The Bible says that the flesh has enmity with the Spirit. If that be the case, do you think that your flesh is going to agree with the Spirit? No, your flesh is going to be in line with everything that is negative. You have to retrain your flesh. You are a new creature. A new creature, a new creation. That means you have a new language. We Pentecostal charismatics love the fact that the believers will speak with a new tongues. That is a smidgen part of it, folks. It's not just the fact that you're now praying in the Spirit. It's now the fact that your vocabulary changes. You eliminate words, not just curse words, just words that are negative, just words that are critical, just words that are death filled. Just eliminate those out of your vocabulary. I used to have a lady when I first started the church. She was just the best old woman in the world. She had one problem, and she'd say, "I'll tell you what, if it's true, I'm just gonna say it." And she would say the worst things about all kinds of things and all kinds of people. Outside of that, she was just wonderful. But she felt like if it was true, she had to say it. There's a lot of things that are true that don't have to stay true, because we can change the script. The writer said, "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." God is ready. But is your tongue ready? That's the question. Because your tongue can get, God is ready. What does God want to write? God wants to write your salvation, your health, your prosperity, your power, your overcoming, your testimony. That's what God wants to write. But your tongue is the pen. And you've got to let your body be retrained. Your tongue has to be retrained. And the Bible said no man can tame the tongue. You just can't do it in the flesh. That's the reason why you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to get filled with the Holy Spirit because you can't control the human tongue. It'll say things to people. It'll curse. It'll do all kinds of things that you don't want it to do. But even worse than that, it will speak death into your very existence. Everything you say. If your heart is not right, your tongue will be poisonous. And the only thing that can change the human heart, the Bible said the human heart is deceitfully above all. It's wicked. From whence come wars, the Bible said, in the human heart. The human heart has to be changed. You know, the Bible said that the Holy Ghost is shed abroad by the love of God in our hearts. The Holy Ghost. I am the proponent that believes that everybody in the New Testament had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not the New Testament, but from the Acts into the epistles. Every one of them were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and spoke with tongues. And the problem we've got is we've got a church on this planet Earth where about 10 or 20% are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the other 80 or 90% are not filled with the Holy Spirit. So the church on the planet does not match the church in the Bible. And we're not going to have what this church needs and what we believe as Christians. We're not going to have that revival until the church on the earth matches the church in the Bible. I heard somebody say, it's amazing how many people want Jesus of the Bible, but they don't want the Bible of Jesus. And they just want to pluck him out and leave all of his words there. But friend, he is the Word. The Word became flesh. If you don't obey the words of Christ, you don't love Christ. And so it is a tremendous retraining of our tongue that we, and of course, like I said, I wasn't raised around cussing people, so it wasn't a problem for me. But I was raised around negative people, and it was a major retraining, even though I was filled with the Holy Ghost, for me not just to get up and say, man, I'm just sick as a dog. I mean, that's just the way they talk. I tell you, I feel like I'm dying. This is the worst thing I ever had. I think the Lord's about through with me. That's the way we talked all the time in Holy Ghostville Church. Everything, almost everything that came out of our mouth was negative. And there we were, made in the image of God and filled with the Holy Spirit. I heard Kenneth Copeland say the other day, he said, and he's doing pretty good, he's 85 years old. He said, I am now going to live to be 120. You say, well, he ain't going to live that old. Well, he looks better than some of you do, and you're 50. It's working pretty good for him. Hallelujah. I've told so many Pentecostal preachers, I've still got hundreds of Pentecostal preacher friends, and they can't get this concept that whatever you preach is what happens. If I stand here and preach for 40 minutes on gossip, gossip will not decrease in this church. It will actually increase. If I stand here and preach for 40 minutes on divorce, we won't have less divorce. We'll have more divorce. If I stand here and preach against sin, we won't have less sin. We'll have more sin. And Pentecostals cannot get that concept. They feel like they're being dishonest if they don't turn over every rock and expose every problem. And they don't understand that it is not ungodly to preach the solution rather than the problem. It's all right to preach on the righteousness of God to unrighteous people because there's just the chance that they are going to get it and become righteous. It's all right to preach on a beautiful marriage to people that have had a couple divorces because they might make this one work. Whatever you preach is what happens in a church. That's the reason why we just don't get up here and name sin and go through that every service. We are preaching the solution, and that works to us as individuals. If you talk about your trouble, you're not going to have less trouble. You're going to have more trouble. If you talk about your problem, you're going to have more problems. You talk about your pain, you're going to have more pain. You talk about your sickness, you're going to have more sickness. Begin to talk about the healing virtue of Jesus. And the healing virtue of Jesus will begin to manifest in your life. Begin to talk about, you know, it's just people think you're proud and you're arrogant when you make statements. I am the righteousness of God. That's an amazing confession. But so many people think, well, he's just bragging. No, you're not bragging. You're confessing what God made available, and you are in the process. And when you say, I am the righteous of God, you're simply accelerating the process. Praise God. You're going to become more like the Lord. As far as God is concerned, you're righteous because of what Christ did. But the more you confess it, the more you're going to become like Christ, and the more your actions are going to become righteous and your deeds are going to become righteous because the power is in the tongue, either death or life. What our tongue says about God either opens or closes our heaven. What our tongue says about God. Now, there are all kinds of scriptures. about what you say about me. And I'm not here because it's very self-serving to talk about that. But there's all kinds of problems with speaking against your pastor, against another brother or sister in the church. And those things are terrible. They'll have terrible fruit in your life. I can promise you that. But the worst thing you could do is speak negatively about God. It either opens or closes the heaven. Somebody said, well, I'm living under an open heaven. Not unless you are speaking praise and positive confession and declaration about God. That's the reason why David was a man after God's own heart. Not because he lived a perfect life. You just want to match us person for person. Many of us can run right beside David and say, well, my life's just as good as yours. I ain't never killed nobody. I ain't never done this and everything. That's not the point. He was a man after God's own heart because he had the ability to speak the best things in the Bible about God. There's nobody that could brag on God like Psalmist David. That's the reason why it is such a consolation to people that don't know much about the Scripture. They love to go to the Psalm because it's just such a positive confession about God. And so what you say about God, it either opens the heaven or it closes the heaven. Some of God's greatest judgments were reserved for the murmurers in the Old Testament. When Moses' sister and brother murmured against him, God just opened up the earth and swallowed some of them. God put leprosy on others. Tremendous things. And so that in itself is a problem. Talking about your brother and your sister and the body and the ministry and all of that, that can bring all kinds of death into your life. I've got a friend. It doesn't matter who you ask him about. I mean, it can be the biggest dud in the world. And I've never heard him where he wasn't excited. Oh, he said, what about so-and-so? You know, he's the most wonderful man. And I just want to be like this guy. He apparently can see no guile in anybody. I've never asked him about anybody where they weren't just wonderful, just glory, saint, sinner, or preacher. It don't matter. Everybody's wonderful to him. You say, well, I'm just not naive. It might help us to be a little more naive sometimes. Just to look over people's problems like God has forgiven us to forgive them. And so God smote them with leprosy, opened up the earth and swallowed them simply because they murmured against Moses. You know the reason why they were mad at him, don't you? Mixed marriage. Racism was really strong there. Friend, they can just fight all they want to in Washington, D.C. There is no end to racism unless there's a change of the human heart. It'll be there forever. It'll be there forever. It will be there forever. The only reason why you and I are not racist is because Jesus Christ washed our heart with his red blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. But what you say about God, let me close with this, will either open or close heaven. Folks, I don't mind telling you that I am living under an open heaven. There's not a week goes by where I'm not blessed beyond my expectation and God surprises me with his goodness. I mean, every day God's just doing things in my life, just amazing things. And things are getting easier and easier and easier. And you know, I'd like to say it's just because you're getting older, but that's not really true. It's because of the age we're living in and what is available and the principles I've learned. It will literally open up heaven to you. When you realize that man doesn't hold your future, when that boss you've been working for 11 years, that he's not your future, that God literally died, sent his son to die for you, and now you can literally learn God's principles that will open up heaven for you. I got a friend. He calls me every day to get a victory report. He gets a victory report, and he'll tell me every day, since I've started dealing with you, my life has changed. He called me today. He said, I got $50,000 today. He said, when I met you, he said, I didn't have a dime in the bank, but he said, I've learned from you that you can live under an open heaven, and you've got to begin to confess these things every day. God is going to get it to me. And God will get it to you. Nobody can dam the stream of God's blessing in your life if your tongue is under the control of the Holy Spirit. Nobody, not your preacher, not your mother-in-law, nobody can dam up the stream of God's blessing if you understand the principle of the taming of your tongue and you begin to speak about God as He is. You know, the old churches used to say God is good all the time. Now, that was an old Pentecost thing. It was good, but that's one of the few things they did like that. God is good all the time. It's not God is good sometime. God is good all the time. God's good when I'm hired and God's good when I'm fired. Same God, and God will make a way where there is no way. And God said, I want to open up the windows of heaven to you, and I literally want to pour you out a blessing that you're not able to contain. You know, we preachers are a very self-serving group of people. You understand that, don't you? Everything we preach benefits us. Come to church, it benefits us. Pay tithes, it benefits us. Don't cause trouble, benefits us. It's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing to be a preacher, because no matter what I preach for your good, it benefits me somehow. So I have spent a lifetime going to church and listening to preachers, and this has been one of their favorite verses, and it still is today, especially TV preachers. I said, David never saw Christian television. They said, how do you know? Because he said he never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I said, if you watch much Christian TV, they're going to be begging bread. I promise you that. I am the man, somebody said, from whom all sacred cows flee. And so this is just a favorite verse for preachers. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. You have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse. There may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, say the Lord of hosts, if I want to open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. We got you right there. If you don't pay your tithes, there's going to be a curse on you. Your wife's not going to age well. Your kids are going to be rebellious. Your car is going to break down one day after the warranty. There's going to be a curse on you. You understand if you don't tithe. And preachers have used that forever. I heard a guy pray in Jackson, Mississippi. They asked him to pray with an offering. He said, I pray that people that don't give an offering in this church have a flat tire on their way home. He just went through a whole list of stuff. Friend, I really don't do that. I think there's a danger in trying to use the Word of God for your own benefit. I used to know a guy that he'd say, this lady right here, the Lord just spoke to me, you're supposed to give me $500 to pay my airfare. I don't believe that. I believe you're manipulating people, and I believe there is a particular punishment for people that use the pulpit to manipulate people for their own good. And it happens all the time. So I read you their favorite verse, but you don't have to go very many verses, and they never use this. They never use this, because all they're interested in is the tithing, the offering, and the curse. That's all they're in. But listen to this in verse 13, same chapter. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, why have we spoken so much against you? The Israelites, God, we haven't said anything about you. He said, you have said, God said this, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it we have kept his ordinance and that we walk mournfully before the Lord of hosts? God said, it's not just the fact that you are not bringing tithe and offerings. He said, it's because you're running your mouth against me, and I am your father. If God tells you to honor your father and your mother, mother represents the church, father represents God the Father, how much more should we honor God the Father and what he calls his bride that he loves so much that he gave his life for it? Be very careful before you run your mouth against God and against his church. He takes tremendous offense at that. And so if you want to live in a place where the heavens are open, you have to be very careful what you say. And he said, you have spoken against me. You said it's vain to serve God. Let me explain to you, folks. I've been serving the Lord for 61 years. Sister Gloria, how long have you been saved? Since just 9 years old. We've been living for the Lord a while. And you can get with her, you can get with me, you can get with Pastor Brandon, you can get some more people here. Let me tell you, it ain't vain to serve the Lord. The Lord takes care of me. The Lord has always taken care of me. I've had people try to drag me out of his hand, pluck me out of his hand, protest me out of his hand, accuse me out of his hand, but he just won't let me go. The only way I can get out of his hand, I have to get me a ladder and climb down and get out of it myself. If I want to stay in the Lord's hand, nobody can pluck me out of his hand. It is not vain to serve the Lord. I can promise you that. It pays beyond I would ever imagine. When I got saved, I was a little boy and I didn't want to go to hell. That's all I knew, and I got saved. But friend, I'm going to tell you, since that day till now, it's been payday every day. Every day, it's been payday. The Lord's mercy is fresh every morning. He takes care of me every morning. He said, you said it's vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we've kept his ordinance? Let me tell you, folks, there's nothing as profitable as living for the Lord. And so every day I get up. When you get sick, I don't know why God's not healing me. That's not a good thing to say, because that is an offhand accusation that for some reason God is not wanting to heal you because he don't like you or something. Like the guy that came to Brother Osteen. He said, Brother Osteen was a funny man. He said, Oscar, what do you need? He said, I got too many problems, Lord. He said, I just been praying. God don't answer all my problems. He said, pray about it. Brother Osteen, pray about it. Would you let me know what the Lord said? Next service, come back. He said, you say, Oscar? He said, how you doing, Oscar? He said, nothing going good. He said, you pray? He said, yeah. He said, what'd the Lord say? He said, the Lord said he don't like you, Oscar. He said he loves you, but he said, you're such a whiner, he just can't stand to be around you. He's going to save you, Oscar, but if you want to spend any time with him on earth, you're going to have to change your attitude, Oscar. That's what the Lord said. He said, did the Lord really say that? He said, I think he did. He was a funny man. But friend, I'm going to tell you, if you want to open the windows of heaven, no matter what's going on in your life, you start saying, great is the Lord. And greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. Many years ago, Sister Chris sits here on Sundays. A woman has won so many people to the Lord. We've got a woman driving from Crystal City, sits over here. From Crystal City's a long drive. She comes most Sundays. And I try to get over there and talk to her because we go back so many years, 40 years. But She came in with a bottle of wine and a Holiday Inn, set it down, was going to get drunk because she was a politician and things weren't going well in Crystal City. And she set that down, and little Chris sat right over. She was the registrar. And it was Saturday. And Chris said, why don't you come and go to church with me tonight? And that woman came and got the Holy Ghost. And I drove to Crystal City for about 2 years every Thursday night and got probably 100 people filled with the Holy Ghost in Crystal City. Had church there for about 2 years. But so Chris was there. They called me one time about 2 o'clock in the morning. Church was small. Somebody said, one of the ladies said, my mama is dying. She's out here to Methodist Hospital and she is dying. She's got a rupture and she's just bleeding and they can't get the bleeding stopped. And she was a Hispanic lady. And they didn't have a private room for her, even that condition. They shoved her into a room with a black lady. And the black lady was a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. And she looked over at her, and she said, what's wrong? She said, I'm dying. And she said, well, blessed be the name of the Lord. Said, you ever go to church? Said, a little bit when I was younger. Said, you ever hear them sing this song? And they start singing in the hospital room at 2 o'clock in the morning. It don't matter whether you sing it or talk it. Whether you talk fast, whether your grammar's good, whether it's Spanish, it's just controlling that tongue, taming that tongue. They begin to sing. And when I walked in that hospital, I didn't have to ask what room they was in. I followed the music. And there they were singing. And I stood by that hospital bed. And that doctor came in, and he said, we didn't give her long to live. But he said, we just reexamined before you got here. The bleeding has stopped. And he looked at me, and he said, preacher, I don't believe in miracles, but I just saw a miracle. I just saw a miracle. I just saw a miracle. It happened because one Hispanic woman had her tongue tamed to praise God in the worst of times, and one black woman, and she convinced the Hispanic woman to join with her, and when they two tamed their tongues, praise God, life came into that hospital room. And ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to get to you, and I'm going to do it every Wednesday night this month, I'm going to try to help you train your tongue to where you can have Jesus to show up in every circumstance, in every situation, and every hellish foolish thing can be turned to heaven, and every pain can be turned to healing, and every distortion can be turned to a promise, because life and death is in the tongue, and it won't be everybody, but somebody in this building tonight needs to get out of your pew and run to this altar and say, "Preacher, if you don't mind, I think I'm going to get in on the very first night of this, and I'm going to take my tongue, and I'm going to start speaking life, and I'm going to start speaking miracles, and I'm going to start speaking joy, and I'm going to start speaking power, and praise God, I'm going to see what it does for my mama and my daddy and my brother and my sister and my kids and me and my family and my job and my work. I'm going to see what it does to this church. I'm just going to see what it does." You know, most people that criticize me are probably right. That's not the point. You just don't have the luxury of criticizing me. Don't matter whether you're right or wrong. You just don't have that luxury. God said, "I'll take care of that." He said, "Your business is life and death is in the tongue." When you start preaching, as I did, you got to realize that you're not the smartest man in the building every service. There's a lot of people I've preached to that are better educated than I am and smarter. That's not the point. The point is, I'm here for one thing, and that is to speak life, to speak Jesus Christ until the sick are healed, until those that are dead in sins are made alive, until those that are bound are made free, praise God. That's what this church is about, is literally causing life to be abundant in people, because most people are dying. They're dying a terrible, terrible death. But somehow, we got to get the message out that here we don't do anything but build people up. I don't care how many marriages you go through. I'm not here to talk about that. Say, "Well, you ought to, Pastor. You need to counsel them." Jesus Christ never counseled the woman at the well 1 minute about marriage, and she'd been married 5 times. She wanted to talk about race. He wanted to talk about grace. Friend, I'm going to tell you, if we will begin to talk the Word of God, talk the goodness of God, talk the promise of God, we'll see our families change, our jobs change, our money change, our body change, our church change, our friends change, in the name of Jesus. Sister Becky is singing, "I'm through." And so I want to...